Hello, 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 hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
And I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
And welcome to our show about tech, gadgets, and the internet by a couple of blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it. Isn't that right, Rob?
Absolutely. On this show, we share... Do you like that?
I love like the game show-ness of it. Really, really lightly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Michael. On this show,
carry on.
We will be sharing our tech knowledge with you and keeping you informed with all the latest tech news and updates from around the internet. And, well, it's been crossed off on the script by Michael, but I think we'll have time to do it. We'll also be visiting the Museum of Retro Tech, where we'll be taking a look at some of the biggest moments in gadget history.
Well, you've said it. We're going to have to do it.
Got to
do it.
We're going
to have to go to the Museum of Retro Tech. Anyway, so
it's always time for the museum.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our spare bedroom. This is Interneted.
Alrighty, time to start the show.
Alrighty.
Each week, we will bring you the most interesting bits of news from around the world of tech, sifting through the, and I didn't look up any cool bits of technology to go here, so through the Android updates, the Apple updates, and the Elon Musk news, which we very rarely mention.
We don't. We never talk about him. Well,
Did you know he's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live?
Is he? Oh, gosh.
He is. Yep.
The internet's come full circle, hasn't it, the internet now?
It has. I know.
Well, this week we're going to be doing something very special. We are doing an Apple event special.
Yay.
Rob, this is your favourite show ever, isn't it?
It's going to be, I mean, in the spirit of fairness, we're going to have to do an Android-themed week another time. But you know what? I'll give credit to Apple where it's due. Sometimes they make things that look all right.
So Apple had an event last week, which was the Spring Loaded event, one of Apple's June big announcement event, Spring big announcement events that they often do. So we're going to talk through some of the big updates, because there were quite some big updates. Shall I go first, Rob? Shall I go first?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this literally must be your favourite week in tech news.
I actually sat and watched some of it. Most of it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Was it one of those classic Apple presentations with all the like?
They do it. It's like now, because we're in like COVID times, they do things a bit differently. So they used to like, you know, go on a stage and people would. So they do it differently this time. It's all like pre-recorded and they zipped around Apple's campus to different people talking about different things. So the first thing I want to talk about is Apple's new iMac that they released. So they launched a new series of really quite nice looking iMacs this event. In a change to the previous iMacs, the iMacs previously were running Intel-based processors, which are the processors that Apple have been using for quite a while, the same processors that are in most Windows computers. Mm-hmm. And they have replaced them with their M1 Apple-designed, Apple-manufactured M1 chip.
Yeah, they're the hot cakes of the...
that's what the kids call it. The old
hot
processor hotcakes. they are the hotcakes. And the reason they're not really hotcakes. The reason why they're so good is they run so cool. They run so cool. And the reason why that's really good for a processor is that it means that you can get a lot more bang for your buck. You don't have to put fans in. You don't have to really like actively cool it. We'll talk a bit more about that for a later story for something else that Apple released. But it meant that they could build a much thinner, much sleeker looking case and fill a lot less of the computer of the case that, you know, the iMac case with parts. The iMac is the Apple's kind of all-in-one computer. So it's basically a big old screen, and that's it, really. It's just a big screen. That's what
it's
it looks like.
It's a big screen. It's got all the components are inside, aren't they?
Yeah, everything's
it's the
inside.
Sort of, iMacs are usually what I imagine like professional photographers and like proper editors do.
You know exactly what it is. It is what the receptionist at a marketing agency has. That is basically...
And it's what they need.
And it's what they need.
It's all about perception.
So the other thing they've done is they've released it in 6 new colours. So it used to just be in silver, but now there's like a greeny... Oh gosh, Karen, my wife Caroline's going to tell me off. I always get colours wrong. But anyway, a greeny, tealy colour.
It's actually turquoise to everyone out there.
Yellow, orange, red, purple, blue. So you can pick
they look quite
colour.
Cool. They're quite cool. They're sort of taking the iPhone approach. You know, you can get iPhones in lots of different colours, and they're doing that with their Macs, which I think makes sense. Mm. I think it's quite nice to look at. I think compared to the old iMac that's replacing it is much thinner. It's much more just a really big iPad on a stand.
Yeah, exactly that.
They do look very aesthetically pleasing. The only thing I kind of wish they got rid of was the big chin.
Yeah.
So at the bottom of the screen, they've got a big section down the bottom with no screen on it. I imagine it's where a lot of the processing unit goes.
It is, it is. But
it would be lovely to just have essentially just a giant iPad. It would be great to have.
I would agree. And that's what a lot of the critics have said. But yeah, I mean, it's a much, much bigger improvement. I basically think they haven't really pushed the limits of the M1 processors yet. Mm. I think this may have been designed... or started to be designed in the Intel age before they knew they were going to be making the jump. Like a lot of some of the other bits that they've some of the other laptops and stuff that they've released. I don't really feel like they've properly flexed or pushed the limits of what
probably
the M1
not.
Processor can
they
do.
They probably don't want to do it yet. They probably want to keep pushing year on year to really flex.
That's a cynical Apple statement. Sounds like it. Anyway, what else did they have? So they had new colours. They had they've upgraded their camera. For some reason, it's taken blooming ages to put in a 1080p
camera. It's now 1080p.
Which is what most computers have got, anyway.
2016.
But they do have...
They also...
They've got clever image processing in it, so that does make it slightly better. But yeah, sorry, carry on.
They do. They also came out with a brand new wireless keyboard, didn't they? Which,
they did.
Security conscious, is quite interesting. It has... Touch ID, so what you can get for the old iPhones and iPod touches. So the way of logging into the computer is a dedicated button on this new keyboard, which
it's not just logging in. It's not just logging in. It's paying for stuff. That's when it gets really, really useful.
That's true.
Like you can, so it basically Touch ID is like fingerprint, a sensor type thing. And the reason why they've not released it, and if you buy, by the way, you can buy the keyboard separately, but if you've got an Intel-based Mac, it won't work because the Intel-based Macs don't have what Apple call the secure enclave, which is a processor, a little chip on the board that allows you to communicate securely between the keyboard and the computer, and like not let your fingerprint details or security details get out. But it allows you to pay, allows you to log into websites, log into services. Big fan of that kind of stuff.
They said that you could switch users depending on So if you've got multiple users set up with their different fingerprints, you could just swap instantly with the touch of a button. That's
exactly
really cool. I quite like that.
And the final thing, which by the way, if you buy this you get a keyboard with it. The keyboard comes in the color of the computer that you buy. They're also doing Magic Mouse, their mouse, which has got the silly stupid charging port right at the bottom, so
it's
you can't
underneath.
Use it whilst charging.
You can never use it.
And then they've got their little touchpad again. They're all going to be in those nice metallic colors that they've released. The other thing, which is quite a curious thing, is they've done a magnetic power adapter that goes into the back of the screen,
which is an odd move.
Is weird, and it comes with a power brick like a laptop. Even more bizarre is the power brick in the higher end models has a network port in it, so you can connect it to a wired network, which feels very Windows bizarrely. It doesn't feel very Apple. But anyway, that's they've done that.
I think it's useful though, because the Mac itself doesn't have
it just has
an Ethernet port in, so it's got to put it in somewhere. There'd be complaints if they didn't have a sort of workaround for that, wouldn't they?
Exactly, yeah. So in terms of ports, it has a headphone jack and then 2 USB-C and 2 Thunderbolt ports on the back.
Is this the first time that the Macs had Thunderbolt ports? Because
no,
everyone that doesn't know the USB-C. Oh, it's not.
No. Well, they had the old, so the USB-C style Thunderbolt ports is what they have. But before that, used to have kind of the bigger, squarer Thunderbolt mini display port, which was also Thunderbolt in the old generations.
I see.
Not to bore you too much. But anyway, that's the iMac.
Yes.
Rob, what's next?
Well, So, as I mentioned last week, there was a slight update to the iPad Pro.
Hey, this is not a slight update. This is a big update. Did you see the how they released it on the video? Did you see how they on the?
I didn't know. I didn't watch.
They had this like clip where they had like a man trying to break into the Apple headquarters, and like he rappelled down the building. And you know, you have those like those films where they cut a hole in the glass with a laser. He did it with an Apple Pencil, right? It's like really cringy.
Nice.
And jumped through and stole a laptop off a desk and then made his way all the way into like the secret areas. And then the man was revealed to be Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, as he peeled off his mask. And what he'd taken was the processor from the laptop, and he opened the iPad and put the processor from the laptop into the iPad. And then it cut to Tim or somebody being like, that's right, we're putting a desktop processor in an iPad. And that's obviously where the crowd would have clapped and screamed and cheered.
As they would. And it is quite big. I'll grant you that the updating of a processor doesn't sound massive, but it is quite big.
I mean, to put this in perspective, this is the same processor that is now in the MacBook Pro that runs Final Cut Pro, runs, you know, proper beefy
it's a
applications.
Proper productivity workstation processor. Yeah. It's an impressive feat that they've got it in there, and it just goes to show that as you said earlier, that the chip runs really coolly.
Yeah, let's go for that.
It's very efficient. That's one of the big things with the M1 chip, which means that it won't drain your battery too much with being used. It can be pushed further. It is big, and they've always said that the iPad Pro blurs the lines between an iPad, a tablet, and a proper laptop. And now that gets even closer. You know, you've got this raw power inside the iPad.
Exactly.
The only thing that would hold it back now is the operating system.
I think they're going to converge at some point, because
do you think they'll try and bring macOS to the iPad in some sort of way, or do you think they'll stick with iPadOS?
Well, macOS already runs iPad apps. You can run them natively because they now use the same, essentially like the same architecture to be able to run it. But yeah, I think so. Well, the other thing, I don't know if you mentioned, but the iPad Pro has basically it's got a professional screen on it. It's got this fancy mini LED screen, which Apple have this super, super expensive monitor called, I think it's called the Pro XDR display.
Yeah.
And they've replicated that in an iPad. So the reason why, basically what it can do is it can do lots and lots of different colors, lots of like deep blacks and bright colors, better than an OLED can do it, because an OLED screen, as I think we talked about in previous episodes, does it, but it's very, very dim. This is a really, really bright screen, does the colors brilliantly. So
it's using a new technology called it's micro LED, isn't it?
Mini LED? Micro, yeah, mini something LED. Like that. It's like the technology is insane, like what they've put into this iPad. And it's got an ultra wide camera, so it does cool stuff with FaceTime calls and stuff. But the main thing is the fact it's got this incredible chip and it's got this incredible screen.
Yeah,
it's basically better than a laptop.
But as I say, the only thing holding it back is what you want to do with it.
Exactly.
You can do tablet things really, 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 really well with it now, but can you do full fledged laptop things with it? I don't know. I don't actually know that much about iPad OS and range of apps.
So I've got an iPad that runs the most current version of iPad OS, and I have a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse that I use my desk at work, and you can assign them to different computers. So I have it assigned to my iPad, so I sometimes have it in front of me, so I can quickly reply to like a personal email whilst I'm at work, and then quickly kind of go back to what I was doing. And the keyboard and mouse functionality on the new iPadOS is fantastic. It's really, really good. And like all the keyboard shortcuts that you use for a Mac work, you know, Command-C, Command-V for copy and paste. And, you know, you can Alt-Tab through all the different applications. You can Command-Space and search for, you know, it does everything you want it to do. It's pretty seamless. Where it falls back on are things like file management. So if you are, you know, making a file and you want to save it somewhere and then recall it or copy a bit from this file, or that's where it kind of falls down, and that's where like fully fledged desktop app, a desktop computer works. But the fact is, if they've got the same processor, they both interact with keyboards and mice, why wouldn't you do it. Like, why wouldn't it seems you? Like the, yeah. the total logical next step. I mean, I guess the other maybe the logical next step is why haven't MacBook Pros got touchscreens?
That's true. That's the only thing is the size of the screen, I guess. If you wanted to work on something bigger than, is it a 12.9 inch for the largest iPad Pro? So and I guess it, that is pretty much a 13-inch notebook, essentially.
And it doesn't do multi-screen particularly well. You know how sometimes you can plug, most modern laptops now, you can plug it into two screens, three screens, and it will let you extend your desktop over those screens. It won't let you do that. A normal MacBook would let you do that. So that's going to be an interesting one, for us to keep our eyes on and just see develops. It
almost puts Apple in a tough position now because people will be saying, you know, we know we can do this level of things with it because it's got the processor, but, you know, what is the point of having a dedicated MacBook Air or MacBook? Like, what am I getting over that?
I mean, here's the thing, right? The most highly specced iPad Pro, which has got ridiculous storage, lots of RAM, big, you know, the M1 processor, is close to £3,000. As far as I'm aware, I was trying to open the Apple website to spec it up, but I think it's close to £3,000. I think maybe like £2,500, something like that, which is the price of a high-end laptop. So it's getting there. I think it's getting there.
Yeah. So watch this space. See what happens with
this space. The iPad. All right. Let's switch focus then. All right. Apple launched their version of the Tile, but don't let Apple hear you say that. So the Tile are these like, well, I have one of my keys. I think we talked about it last week, didn't we? Because this was rumored that it was going to be announced. So they're essentially like tiny little low energy Bluetooth things, widgets that you can put on your keys, essentially. And because it's low energy Bluetooth, it's constantly pinging out a little Bluetooth signal and your phone picks that up and it basically can see that where that signal is. And it uses that.
So if you lose anything,
you can basically do it that way, and you can push a little button on your phone and it fires a message via Bluetooth to say, you know, play a little tune so I can see you. Now, what Tile maybe struggled with, but what Tile probably were trying to do was build a network, because how it worked, like what makes it work really well. So there's these tiny little low energy devices. They haven't got mobile chips in them, mobile phone chips or Wi-Fi chips or anything like that. So they can't dial to the internet. They can't dial back to the internet. So if you dropped it 100 miles away from your home in a random field, you're not going to be able to find it.
You wouldn't be able to find it anywhere in the world.
Because it hasn't got access to the internet, right?
Right.
But what Tile did, and this is what Apple have employed, is they try and get as many people to have the Tile app on their phone when they buy these little Tile devices. So if you have the app on your phone, you connect to this device and they kind of talk to each other. And what it also does is it anonymously talks to every other Tile device that it sees. This is the clever bit of it. So then when somebody loses their device, if that person is walking through that field that you've dropped your keys, that person doesn't know that your phone has pinged it and sent it to the Tile network, but then you would get a notification to say a phone has seen this in this field. Right. This is the location of it, basically, right?
So does it just require someone to walk past once, or do they have to stay in that area for you to find it?
I mean, if you to continue to find it, they'd have to stay next to it.
You could see where it was when they pinged it that one time.
Exactly. So that's how you do it, right? So that's like what Tile did, but that required lots of people to have Tiles and to have the Tile network, and it was, I think, relatively successful. They are relatively successful. They are still building a network. However, Apple have already built this network, the Find My network. I don't know if you've ever used Find My Friends or Find My iPhone or Find My iPad. Like they have this network already, right?
They have the infrastructure, don't they? Yeah.
So what they're doing, they've just released these little Tile things called AirTags, tiny little discs, about the size, they're a puck size, obviously, about the size of, I don't know what the size of, 50 pence piece, £2 coin, puck. Something like that. Yeah, very small.
Bigger than a minstrel, though.
Bigger than a minstrel, yeah. Look a little bit like a minstrel in that kind of shape.
They do.
Now, the massive advantage, I think, over Tile is it has a user-replaceable battery, because Tiles didn't. You'd have to send them back to Tile, they'd recycle them, and you'd have to pay £30 for a new one. Whereas Apple, you pay £30 for the tracker, £29 for the tracker, for the AirTag, but you can replace the battery. It's one of those common like button batteries.
So Apple lets you open up the device.
This
and lets you
is crazy. This is crazy.
Mental.
I mean,
that's
I think
so un-Apple.
They couldn't have done it any other way, because the world is now very conscious on putting stuff in landfill. They got a lot of criticism, I think, over the Apple Pencil with the non-replaceable batteries. Anyway, so this is what they have. So replaceable battery, all that stuff. But they have the Find My Network, which is this huge network, millions and millions of devices around the world, and they're now going to be adding to it. So anyone with an iPhone or an iPad, they don't even have to have a specific app. Anyone with an iPhone or an iPad that walks past it in this field is going to ping it, pinged to the network and fire it back.
It's genius. It's genius. Brilliant. It's a logical step, isn't it?
Very, very logical step.
It'd be crazy not to.
And it looks like they are licensing the Find My Network as well. So I think there are people who, you know, like bike manufacturers I've seen. I saw a video of a bike manufacturer who had the Find My Network built into their bike. So if somebody nicks your bike, again...
So it doesn't just have to be Apple product related.
Exactly. They've started licensing it. Yeah. So that's really cool. Nice. So I'm really tempted, actually. It's £29 for one, or £99 for four, which is not too bad, actually. I mean, it's
not a bad deal. And assuming this comes with a key ring or like a
strap
that you can put.
Yeah. Now this is the other annoying thing, right? They are just discs, and they have no hole in it, so you can't attach it to your keys. I assume the logic is that if they put a little hole in it, that would like weaken over time. And they want it just to be as small as possible, the size of the battery. So it'd have to be quite near to the edge and it might snap. So you might lose it. So they want to sell you an accessory, which is like 10, 15 quid or whatever. But already, if you look on Amazon, eBay, those kinds of places, people have already started making third party things. So you can probably, you'll probably be able to pick them up for a couple of quid at some point.
And to be honest, it depends where you want to put it as well. You know, if you want to put it in a backpack or a bag, then you just don't need
chuck
to
it in the bag,
strap
yeah.
in it, just put it in there and it's fine. But
exactly that. Yeah.
I know. Come on, Apple.
It's a bit annoying. But anyway, that's cool.
It's cool.
It comes with free etching. So you can, I was playing around with this actually on their website. You can put up to four letters or four emojis to be etched. So I was trying to write my name.
What were you going to put?
Well, it wants to put Mitch because that's as far as I can get.
Mitch.
Mitch. Is that from Mitch Mike. Here? Mitch. Yeah. I don't know what I'd put. MB or something. Maybe someone made names.
MBTB. Michael Bird. The bird.
Yeah.
Michael the bird.
And I was like, maybe I could put my postcode and then it just HP and then that's all I could put in. So yeah, I'm not quite sure what I would etch on it, but like most people just put like a single emoji. So like a little unicorn or a little smiley face or something. But they're quite cool. They're quite cool.
Why not? It's free.
It's free. Free etching. And yeah, so I think it's really I'm impressed. I'm excited to see.
It seems to make sense. If it's something you're interested in and you have an Apple device, why not?
Exactly. So that was me drinking some water. It's very noisy, wasn't it? Filled with ice cubes. Okay. What's last on the list? Perhaps it's probably the thing you're most excited about.
It really is. I'm very excited for this. So this might not be the one you're thinking of, Michael, but I'm very excited for a brand new colour iPhone. It's going to be a purple iPhone.
Yeah, okay.
Is that what you're gearing up to, right?
Do you know what? It was so annoying. Again, I watched the keynote and it was literally the first thing they announced.
Is it?
No, that's not... Was it? It was like the first or second. It was like, we've got a new purple iPhone. I was like, why?
Why are you leading with this?
They have a purple iPhone. I assume it's because they released a purple iMac and they probably wanted a Mac this week.
It looks nice. It looks like it's lavendery sort of colour, you know, purple.
I mean, great. Yeah,
but no, the more exciting thing is the Apple TV 4K has been updated.
It has.
It's good news for anyone that wants to buy a new 4K TV Apple device. Not only has it got a brand new A12 Bionic chip, I say brand new, they've used that chip before, but
yeah, it's quite an old chip.
It's a much improved processor for the Apple TV. Not only that, but it can also play HDR and high frame rate videos, which I didn't know the old Apple TV 4K couldn't do.
But you can do it over. I think you can definitely do HDR and you can definitely do Dolby Vision. Is that their version of HDR? You can definitely do that on the Apple TV, but the thing that it's brought in, you can do it over AirPlay. So if you have a phone, I think iPhone 10 and above will shoot in HDR. You can AirPlay HDR and probably the higher frame rates as well if your TV supports it.
Yeah, so that's cool. That's not too bad. It also has quite an interesting thing with the color correction that it does.
Yeah, should I explain that, how that works?
Yeah, yeah, give it a go.
Okay, so as you know, TVs out of the box, as you might know, TVs out of the box aren't necessarily color corrected particularly well,
no,
or color balanced particularly well. Something that Rob is very passionate about, and I think
very passionate. Always have a fiddle with your TV settings when you
every time Rob comes to my, I think I cringe when you look at my TV. I'm worried when you come and look at my TV.
It's very green. All the people look like aliens. It's fine.
So yeah, so most people don't know how to color correct their TV, me included. So what Apple have done, I think this is genius, right? So you obviously, this only works on the when you're using the Apple TV, right? Mm-hmm. What it does is they ask you to put your phone, your iPhone, against the TV, yeah, so front facing on the TV, and they draw a little box for you to put the phone on, and then the TV flashes a loads of colors at your phone. The camera on your phone recognizes those colors, and then by doing that, it kind of figures out how your TV is currently calibrated.
Yeah.
And then the Apple TV auto calibrates based on what it's seen from your iPhone, and then changes the color.
So it changes the output from the Apple TV.
From
it
the Apple
your
TV
settings, it will change the Apple TV's.
But it's, I mean, it's all the same, isn't it, really? If you're,
well, yeah, I mean,
assuming
that's
your
genius.
TV settings are pretty neutral, it should make quite a bit
that's
of difference.
That's such a good move, because Apple will know the calibration of your phone screen, right? Unless you've got, was it sunlight filter on, the blue light filter on, like,
you
turn that off. But that, they know the calibration of their iPhone screen, so they know what the color should look like.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can match it up. I think that's a great move. I think that's really, really clever.
And I wonder if Apple will look to roll this out into other TVs. For example, my LG TV has AirPlay built into it. It has HomeKit support in it. I wonder if there'll be some TVs that Apple will roll this out
to.
It'd
be a great way to calibrate a whole load of TVs for iPhone
users. It would be, wouldn't it? It would be.
Because Sonos does something fairly similar.
For TruePlay.
So you can buy Sonos speakers and soundbars, and it has a feature called TruePlay, which is where you use an iPhone to...
can you only do it on an iPhone?
It only happens on iPhone at the moment. again, you know, it's because they know the insides of an iPhone. They don't always know what comes in an Android.
Have you ever TruePlay? Have you ever TruePlay with an iPhone then?
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend's got got an iPhone. I have to use that. She lords it over to me. I go, can I TruePlay? And I have to borrow your iPhone. She goes, oh yes.
I love TruePlaying with an iPhone. It makes me feel like the most bonkers person.
It's weird, isn't it?
It goes.
It's one of the loudest sounds you'll ever hear, because your speakers are turned all the way up to 10, and it just emits a really weird, like, it's a very surreal sound, isn't it?
It is. And then you have to wave your iPhone in circles up and down the room, and then if somebody walks in, your phone goes, I heard a sound, you have to start again.
Yeah,
it is so good. Yeah,
you look like a complete freak when you wave your phone up and down.
It's brilliant,
but
though
the actual output of it understands the acoustics of your room, and it tunes the Sonos speaker accordingly.
It does. It's very good.
So yes, this is something similar for TVs, which I think
although
is great.
Your Arc, your Sonos Arc has got auto TruePlay, hasn't it?
It doesn't, no.
Oh.
It's a TruePlay with an iPhone.
Oh, well, the Roam that I've just bought has got auto TruePlay.
Well, I guess that's because you always move it around, and you can't necessarily do that in a garden.
Yeah, I'd give it a go. I'd give it a go.
Do you
see
think,
my neighbours
could
thing.
You use your Sonos Roam to TruePlay the sound of a room, and then would that then change the settings of the room?
I want that to be the case. I don't know. I'll find out and let you know. Anyway, we are talking about Apple here. Sonos event, Rob. can I also say, so the Apple TV, we're talking about color correction. So the color correction is quite cool. They also released a new remote. So the previous remote on the previous Apple TV, I assume you don't have an Apple TV.
I don't know.
Okay. So the previous remote was a hateful piece of technology. everybody hated it. It was small, it was annoying, the buttons didn't make any sense, it was just a pain to use. But the new one has got lots of different buttons. There's like a mute button and a volume control and that stuff. But the cool thing is they've got one of those iPod click wheel things. They bought the old click wheel back.
That. We saw the video
you can use
like,
to scrub.
Oh, they brought it back.
Yeah, I like that. And you can buy them separately. If you have an old 4K Apple TV, I believe you can buy them separately to use with an old 4K Apple TV.
And have they? I saw somewhere that they got rid of the motion controls from that controller, which
I think they did.
With.
Yeah, because I think they're only being
wasn't utilized very well.
I mean, I guess they're being used probably in some games, weren't they? Apart from that, but
yeah,
yeah.
Not a big loss.
I don't think anyone will be that sad about it because you can't play
Wii Bowling on it anyway. So what's the point in having motion controls?
Well, exactly. And I assume you can probably get separate controllers that do it anyway.
If you really want to play those, yeah.
Cool. I mean, the only other thing that Apple announced at the event was an update to their podcast app, which is very topical. So Apple are going to be adding subscriber tiers to the inbuilt Apple podcast app, which, well, is interesting. It's interesting because Apple and Spotify are two of the biggest podcast platforms at the moment.
Yep.
We shall see what impact that has on Spotify, if Spotify will fight back with their own subscription tier. If it means that podcasts will no longer be free, or if some of the top best podcasts will no longer be free, if they're behind a paid tier.
What about this one?
This one will always be free. That's my guarantee.
Forever free.
Yeah. forever free. You can only really pay for high quality content. So that's why this one will always be free.
Nice. I like that.
I know, then that's an insult to us, isn't it? This is not high quality.
It's definitely an insult to us, but that's fine.
That's fine. Cool. All right. I think that was everything from the event. They announced a lot of stuff.
It was a big one. It was a lot of stuff. I think a lot of people had guessed a lot of these things that were coming out. You know, a lot of the rumors that I mentioned last week came true. Something that I think was interesting that was missed or wasn't announced was an update to the iPad Mini. That is still
didn't arrive. Yeah, no iPad Mini update.
Same stuff from the 2019 one. So,
yeah. Apple at the moment they've got a lot of stuff that's really old.
Yeah.
So like the iPad is now brand new, but the iPad Mini is old, and you know they need to do a bit of a no, because they usually update everything at the same time. But this whole processor changes, I think, is causing a few issues.
They have historically had a few devices that they just sort of left. They sort of left them in the dark.
Oh yeah.
They hadn't updated the design of the iMac for a while. It was the
Mac Pro, like the Pro.
Oh, the Mac Pro. Yeah.
And then they released the dustbin, which nobody liked. And then they
released the cheese grater, right?
Then they released the cheese grater too.
How much were the wheels on the cheese grater? That was expensive.
£500, £700, something like that. Ridiculous amount of money.
To move your desktop PC around.
To move your desktop PC,
makes a lot of sense.
Hey, they're beautifully engineered, and that's all that matters. All right. Is that it for our tech roundup?
I believe so.
Apple special tech roundup. All right. Well, we'll be back with, I guess we'll be back with part two of Interneted right after this. You see what I did there was I played the full...
It just kept going.
The full theme rather than the little sting. So I'm going to beautifully segue that out. And then beautifully segue in. Ah, that's better. That's better.
Really well done.
So rather than it being a 15-second or whatever it is, a 5-second sting, it was a 2-minute...
That's that free thing. Content we get you guys listening to.
This is the high-quality content you've all tuned in for.
Oh, yes.
Right, anyway, ladies and gentlemen... Welcome to the magnificent and illustrious Museum of Retro Tech, a totally not made up museum where we preserve the greatest gadgets and tech marvels for generations to come.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yes, oh yes. Oh, each week, one of us will be submitting two items. However, there's only space for one item.
However,
there's only space for one item in the illustrious collection. We can only have one a week, Michael. And
one per week.
We both know that. But as this is an Apple special week.
Yes, where is it this week then?
Shockingly, we are coming live from the Apple Park.
Which
is in California.
In California. We've flown.
It's a far out location today. Hey. This is our first international location.
We've got our very, very contentious COVID passports. Super contentious COVID passports. And we've flown to California.
We are in the Apple Park. There is the main building, and I didn't know that this was what it was called, but it's it's a huge circular building, as you've seen if you watched the keynote from this week's Spring Loaded. It's called a groundscaper rather than a skyscraper.
Not a groundscaper. Yeah, a ground scraper. Yeah.
A ground scraper, which is the opposite, I guess, of a skyscraper, which is quite a cool word for it.
And, are we in the Steve Jobs Theatre? Yeah, that's right.
Obviously.
That's where the keynotes come from, I think.
The secret products are held. Yeah, we're in there. So we can see all the future announcements that are yet to come.
Oh, Rob, look at that
have
one.
Have you seen that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't like it. Not for me.
Look at that one. No, I don't like it.
See, I saw that on Android 5 years ago. That's fine.
All right. So this week, Rob, are you going to be bringing our two potential submissions?
Oh, I'm bringing it, Michael. I'm bringing it.
Well, I have
I'm bringing my A game, because you do have absolute authority, but I've got two gems for you this week, Michael.
Two absolute cracking gems. All right. Well, welcome to my office and the Steve Jobs Theatre. We have the whole theatre.
Nice.
Big.
Well done.
Right. Well, what have you bought then?
Well, Michael, this is Apple Week. What else can I bring? Other than some iconic Apple devices. And these are two biggies.
Hoo-wee.
These could be two of the most popular devices we've ever brought onto the show. So, number one, and we can probably see it on the wall somewhere in this building, but I brought another one for you. This is the iPhone. That's it. That's what it was called when it was launched. The iPhone.
The iPhone.
The
wow.
first generation of the iPhone. This bad boy was released in June 2007.
Yeah.
It was a secret project that people never thought was going to happen. There was a lot of rumours. A lot of people never thought it was going to quite come into existence. It was worked on from 2005 and was finally released, as I say, in 2007.
Yeah.
Cost $500 at launch and sold 6.1 million units in its first year, which...
In its first year,
which when compared to iPhones now, which sell tens of millions in its first year, isn't that impressive. But considering it was the first device of its kind, it kickstarted it all. 6.1 million devices is big.
That is massive. That's
so back
crazy.
In the day, in 2007, you had the choice between a 4 gigabyte or 8 gigabyte memory. And that's not RAM. That's overall storage capacity. In today's phone world, we look at 8 gigabytes RAM as a standard and 128 gigabytes memory as a standard. So, you know, things have advanced quite a lot since just 2007.
Although my iPhone 6, which I still use as my work phone, only has 16 gig.
Of storage.
So hasn't moved on that much.
So if they send you many files at work, you say, sorry, my iPhone can't contain it.
Can't contain it. Do send me a new one. No, they won't.
I didn't know this, but when I was looking up the iPhone, it was one of the first devices which had a capacitive touchscreen, which means you don't have to use a stylus and doesn't require the pressure that you apply to the screen.
Which that is the revolution.
Because
that's the revolution.
That made it so much better to interact with than some of the previous touchscreen, in air quotes, devices previously. And also, that was partly due to the replacement of the screen material itself. So just 6 weeks before production started of the original iPhone, Steve Jobs had the test device in his pocket, and he was really frustrated because they had a plastic screen on the iPhone originally, and that kept getting scratched by keys and little bits and pieces in his pocket. So he demanded 6 weeks before production to replace it with glass, and that gave us the glass-fronted iPhones that we know today.
So in little interesting tidbit, I was working in a telephone shop. Was I working in a telephone shop when this came out?
I thought you were going to say you were working on the original iPhone. I was like, not sure that's
true. When did I start? I think I was. Or at least I was working in a telephone shop when it landed in the UK for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So this shop, so I worked at Orange, which doesn't exist anymore. Yes. And the network that I think had it first in the UK was O2. I wonder if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have, never sold iPhones. Never sold an iPhone.
Did everyone come in asking for one?
And I would say you have to go to O2.
Go next door.
Just down the road. But I remember when it came out, what kinds of phones we were selling at that point in time. And they were like the classic phones that you can think of. They all had number pads. They were like BlackBerrys. They were like, little LG phones with number pads.
Did they have any of the rivals, the touchscreen ones, like was it the LG Toco or something like that?
Yeah. LG Toco sold those. And there's a Samsung Omnia or something. I can't quite remember what they were called, but yeah. And also Windows Phone.
Oh, man.
Did Windows Phone 7 come out? I think it did. Or was it early version of Windows?
Yeah, very early version.
And so, yeah, it was really interesting to see then how the phone manufacturers at that point in time kind of as you talked about the capacitive touchscreen, they didn't kind of think of that.
No.
The actual user interface of those phones was they weren't smart. You know, they didn't really have apps in the way that iPhones now have apps. It was basically you got the phone and the functionality that you had in that phone, that was it.
It was a basic phone. It's just you could touch the screen instead, but you had to.
I mean, you could like download. I think you could download like Java games, but they're always a bit clunky, and they didn't really interact with the system.
They didn't use
the
touchscreen as effectively as they could have done. So yeah,
You remember it had a gyroscope in it, the new iPhones, and that was a revolution. People were able to play like games that you could use the gyroscope.
Not only that, but I'm pretty sure every person that had an original iPhone used to download that beer app, and you could pretend that you were drinking a beer from your phone.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah, that was crazy times.
So yeah, that was the iPhone. Wow. And I would say the iPhone is what kind of launched, I mean, it was the phone that launched the smartphone revolution. And the smartphone revolution is what has accelerated the pace of change in,
led us to where we are today. It's today's society is dictated, you know, all these things, TikTok and Snapchat, all the cool things that people do nowadays came
the TikTok
from that phone. The
TikTokers. I would agree. All right,
there you go.
That was tall order. How are you going to beat that? How are you going to top that? What have you got to top that?
If that was the first proper smartphone, how about the first proper tablet? We've got the iPad, first generation. So this bad boy was released a little bit later than the iPhone. It was released in 2010.
Yeah.
It sold 15 million units overall, the first generation iPad, and had a much larger screen. Obviously, it was 9.7 inches. And usually, compared to what we have today, it still ran off the original iPhone operating system. It was just sort of upscaled, so it didn't really take advantage of its screen size until several years later when they invented iPad OS.
Yeah, I mean, iPad OS is still, you know, it's still very, very similar. It still works in the same way.
It is.
But yeah, it has a few little bits to make it better. Yeah, so I have an original iPad.
You have the OG iPad. What sort of shape and size would you call it? Is it hockey puck size? Or is it,
it's hockey puck.
It's just a really
very
big hockey puck.
Very big hockey. Well, the most annoying thing about it is it's got a rounded back, so it doesn't sit flat in front of you. So if you've got it on a desk and you're trying to like type on it, it rocks back and forth. But it's got a 3G chip modem thing in it, so you can use it to browse the internet if you're in the boot. And yeah, it's a great old device. It's really cool. I remember
impressive
using
that
it
still works today. You know, the original generation iPad.
Yeah,
I remember when it came out, I thought, because it is just, it's the future. It feels like the future was now, because you'd always see in like Star Trek or films where you see them having like a pad that they could touch and go around on.
Yeah.
That's never going to come out. No one's ever going to be doing that. And then they came out with one and it was incredible.
Well, because Microsoft tried this years ago, like back in like the Windows 98 days, they tried, you know, like convertible, but it wasn't touch friendly. Like the buttons were too small, so you had to use a stylus, which was always a bit clunky. And
no one ever wants to, everyone just wants to interact with things more organically and more naturally rather than a stylus still to something else. I should work at Apple, shouldn't I?
You should work at Apple. Yeah, so it was and I remember it coming out and people being like, what are you going to use an iPad for? What's the purpose of it?
Yeah,
like
I've got a phone. What do I need it for? Where
does it fit? But I have an iPad and I use it. I mean, I kind of use it a little bit as a bit of a laptop.
Mm.
I love taking it on. I love taking it when I go on holiday.
I think one of the strengths of an iPad is its media consumption on the go, isn't it?
So good.
On the train, if you're commuting, like it's a
battery lasts for ages.
But also, like, people have created entire, I don't know, careers and employment opportunities through iPads.
They have. Yeah.
You know, you can do full creative suite of things using an iPad. You can edit photos. You can draw digital art really, really well. It's one of the best tools in digital art production. So
yeah, they're fantastic.
They're really impressive.
So I've got a pick out of these. Oh my goodness!
What do you want?
You know what? I think it's. I think you know what? I think I'm gonna have to go for the iPhone.
I think that's the right choice. It's bigger.
Here's the reason, right? Without the iPhone, the iPad wouldn't have existed.
It's true.
Without the iPhone, the iPad, like the actual business of Apple, I don't think would have existed. Therefore, the iPad wouldn't have existed. Without the iPhone, the operating system that runs the iPad wouldn't have existed. Without the iPhone, people wouldn't have gone and bought these tablets from a company people know nothing about. They would have, you know, there was no ecosystem. Without the iPhone, there was no app store. Like, it kind of set the stage for the iPad to come. Mm. But the iPhone had to come first. And the iPad wouldn't have come without the iPhone. So that is the reason why I think the iPhone
I think it's a great wins. Choice. It's one of those things that is so fundamental and so revolutionary to the world of technology that it's very hard to imagine a life where that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Black Mirror
episode. Good and
episode.
Bad. Good and bad.
Oh, absolutely.
Good and bad. Ooh, good and bad.
Love to see a Black Mirror episode where this never happened. No one ever launched a touchscreen smartphone. What would the world look like? Would it be controlled with your mind? How would you control it? What do you think the alternative would be? I don't know. That'd be interesting.
Roberto, my friend, I would love to see a Black Mirror episode. A new Black Mirror episode. It's been way too long.
It's been a while. It's been a long time.
Charlie Brooker needs to...
Let's make our own. That's right. We'll do our own.
Oh, yeah. What would happen? Like, we should call it What If. And we should do scenarios of, like, what if this piece of technology never came out?
I like it. Yes. We'll just go through the Museum of Retro Tech.
We should just do that. When we get bored of the Museum of Retro Tech.
Wet-toy-tech.
We should do a new segment, which is What If, and we should do a thought experiment.
There you go. Let us know if you want that, people.
Yeah, or let us know if you don't. Just let us. Either way, let us know. Alrighty then. Well, welcome to the museum. Item of Retro Tech. Oh no, hang on, I need to say
script. Insert name here. Well done.
Yeah.
Smooth as butter.
This is the top quality content you're paying £0 and £0 for. welcome to the museum. iPhone. Original OG iPhone. So welcome to the collection. And that is it from the Museum of Retro Tech.
And there on we go. That impressive okay, bombshell.
I pressed the right button this time.
It does say in the script, press orange button. So
I pressed the orange button.
Please read the script. And with that, it is time for us to end the show. Thank you so much for joining us in this episode of Interneted. We really do hope you enjoyed it and that you made it through to the end. Interneted is hosted, produced and written by Michael Bird and me, Rob Murgatroyd. If you've got any suggestions or you'd like to submit your question to us or give us any notes on how to actually run a podcast, please send us a voice message on our website anchor.fm/interneted. I wonder if I'll ever say that segment without making a mistake. I don't think I will.
What I think is fantastic, you know, obviously we did the Agony Uncle section. Yeah. You had to put on accents. It's like it's just slowly creeping its way back, isn't it? Anyway, we are releasing episodes every week. Can you believe we're releasing episodes every week? This is episode 13, maybe?
That's quite a few weeks. This is almost the whole of the lockdown.
This is, right. Yeah. So make sure you don't miss out on our next episode, make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's worth noting that Apple, with their new release, they have now said you don't subscribe, you follow podcasts.
Oh, so follow us.
Follow us. LOL, follow. Nice. And of course, do give us a cheeky 5-star rating.
Lovely.
So yeah, thank you very much for tuning in. Rob, did you have a good time? Did you enjoy
it? Did I have a good time today? You know I had a good time today. When don't I have a good time at least?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll tell you when I don't. It'll be a very sad ending to the podcast.
Yeah, you let me know. So thank you so much for tuning in. And we hope to see you next week for the next episode of Internet. And of course, Rob, we need to do, now we're allowed to, we need to record an episode outside.
Together. In real life.
Did we just say together at the same time?
Oh, yes.
Together. So maybe we'll do that in next week or the week after that, or indeed the week after that.
Wow. Or maybe even the week after that. Was that
maybe. But I'd like to actually see your face for reals.
Wow. We've never met in real life, so it'd be quite a crazy thing. We're just two strangers that met online and decided to do a podcast together.
Exactly. Anyway, we hope to see you another time next week. Thank you very much for tuning in. Goodbye.
See ya.